This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Community Corner. I'm Ken Morrison, and today it's my pleasure to have in the studio Laura Halligan, who is here to talk about Music Therapy Week, which runs from the 10th through until the 15th of April. Laura, welcome to Community Corner.
Thanks so much.
Now, before we get into the topic, which is music therapy, I love it, tell us a little bit about Laura. I mean, how did you get involved in music therapy and why?
I've been doing this for 13 years now, and before that, I had done a law degree, and I thought that I was going to be a lawyer. And I travelled to India to do some human rights law work over there, and I thought, this is me. And then I suppose whilst in India, I became really captured by the music, and I've always been a musical person. It was something I thought about studying at uni and then didn't. So it kind of came back to me then.
Yeah.
And when I returned to New Zealand, I was like, I've got to do something musical with my life. Yeah.
So tell us a bit about the history of music therapy. I mean, a lot of people listening to this program might think, yeah, it's a bit of voodoo, it's that sort of stuff. It's an alternative treatment. Does it really work, or is it just something that we think might work? Tell us about it. Who decided that music therapy was the thing?
Well, we've got, I think, we just celebrated last year 50 years of music therapy in New Zealand. So that was pretty cool to be there with all the other music therapists. And yep, people ask us that not infrequently,
yes.
You know, and there's a lot of research growing all the time to show the efficacy of music therapy, including Cochrane reviews, which are kind of the gold standard of research. So it's really cool that we can point to those things to go, actually, this has been researched and this does work. And we've had other awesome people support it, like Oliver Sacks, who was a neurologist and wrote about his witnessing music therapy with his clients as well.
Now, you're a registered music therapist, but can anyone hang up a shingle in New Zealand and say, come and see me, I'm a music therapist?
At this stage, yeah, we don't have sort of rights over that term. You couldn't say you're a registered music therapist, but yet those words aren't kind of kept by us, by Music Therapy New Zealand. And sometimes that's happened, and sometimes I'm able to maybe curiously go and just check in what they're doing, and it could be entirely therapeutic what they're doing with music.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's great.
Okay, I come along and see you, and I think, I'm in a flux of mind, and I want to see you. Talk us through a session. So what happens? I come in to see you, and I'm a big fan of the Beatles. You say, look, I'm going to put on that Abbey Road. Have a listen for half an hour and you'll kind of feel so much better, which I would, by the way, but talk through a session. What happens?
Well, that's really person-centred for me. So I work in palliative care. I work in mental health. I've also worked in special education. I've tried to do a bit of everything, and it's always person-centred. So, right, so finding out your connection to the Beatles is awesome.
Yes.
That could be a really great way of beginning our relationship, is to share listening of music, but that's probably just a beginning part. And then we might think about, depending on what your needs are. So if, for example, you're finding it hard to express your feelings and so we're using music to do that, then we might look at the lyrics of a particular song that resonate with you and think about, why is that, or what is that, and look at it a bit closer, and then maybe it would lead to us writing a song together about, you know, extending that even further. Or so music's the anchor, but we can use it so creatively to meet your needs.
Why does music make us feel differently from each other? I mean, you know, what might make me feel sad or happy wouldn't necessarily make you feel sad or happy. Why is that? I mean, that's the great thing about music, and it's something to everyone. It's different,
totally.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It might link to memories of that you had of an amazing concert you went to, and then someone else might have heard that song when their parents were separating.
Mm.
You know, so a memory has a lot to do with our responses to music.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people really enjoy sad music, and and some people find that too much to manage.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
Right.
Yeah, what about you?
I like a bit of sad music. I do, but I also know when it's enough of that and when I need something uplifting. So it's really good to tune into ourselves. What do I need? Actually, maybe I do need to express some sadness right now. And then once I've done that, maybe I need to support myself to come up out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was possibly being a bit flippant when I said about the Beatles when I came to sure. see you. So what would happen? You would talk to me about what to determine what sort of music therapy I might need.
Yeah, and that would be a conversation between us. Sometimes our clients aren't able to do that, you know. So it really just depends on where you're at.
Yes.
But, you know, in the hospice, if I'm working with a client who's been diagnosed with a terminal illness, usually there's lots of times to talk about that.
Yes.
And so the music might... Often I might lead with some music, so even without even asking them, you know, what necessarily they like, I might just say, can I offer to play, sing you a song? Yeah. And then that leads somewhere very intuitively and kind of naturally.
Is your specialty working in hospices?
That's my main work at the moment, yeah.
I read an article prior to you coming in, and what you're suggesting is covers all of these points. In fact, that music therapy, you know, it promotes wellness, so even if you're terminally ill, you're going to feel better, aren't you?
That's right. And then that might lead to sometimes people think, oh, my gosh, there's so many bits of music over my life that are important to me. No one really knows this. So maybe that might lead to what we call a musical life review. So you go to your very earliest memories of music and you make an album that kind of captures you and your memories. And then that might lead to writing something about it and sharing that with your family.
And it also helps manage stress. So you're obviously dealing with people who are in very stressful situations and are worried about what they're leaving behind, what's ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And music kind of brings us into the moment, right?
Mm.
Might be a bit of respite from all the worries.
Mm.
It might be a place to put the worries too, and maybe in an improvisation where you get out the instruments and you just bang them like as loudly as you need to.
Yeah.
And
I was surprised to read that music can actually alleviate pain.
Yep. If it's music that you enjoy, then it does produce the chemicals in your brain which are similar to anesthetic. And so, you can find that your pain is diminished during the session and for some time afterwards sometimes as well. So that's cool. So then they might have a playlist of, oh, that music really helped me, you know, in that pain crisis. So I can put that on and hopefully, you know, support myself to get through it.
Now, someone who's listening to this program that may not be in a hospice situation, but they're suffering from depression or anxiety, what you're talking about is very relevant to their daily life as well, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And as I say, I do work in mental health too. And it's awesome. It's a level playing field. You're in a group of people who are all dealing with their own mental health stuff, you know.
Mm.
And music brings you all in together. It connects you. For that moment, you're just a person playing music.
Yeah.
And that can be really a beautiful thing because connection is something you might lose when you're feeling depressed or anxious.
Does all music work? I mean, you know, for instance, we've got a program here which is about heavy metal, and when I hear it, I sort of grind my teeth because it's not my cup of tea. But
sure.
Yeah. Is it different strokes, different folks? Is it that simple?
It sort of is. And, you know, in a group you have to manage that because one thing might trigger somebody else. And so we have some rules at the beginning like, if this song does bring up stuff for you, you raise your hand and we'll stop it, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you get a group of metalheads and it actually becomes quite catchy.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, that's not something I listen to much. And then all of a sudden I'm jamming along and it's awesome.
Yeah. Now, my next point to have a chat was that music does help you express your feelings, but that is a good thing?
Yeah, I think so. So are you thinking, like, if all your feelings are really dark and difficult, is that helpful to express them?
Is it? Yeah.
I think having a witness to those feelings can be really cathartic. And also managing the session so that you start maybe in a way that feels not too deep, and then you plan the session so that by the end of the session you're going to come up out of it again. So you're not going to leave that person in the deep, dark stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to keep them feeling like they're ready to leave the room and go about their day, you know?
Now, music is so powerful that my own mother recently passed away, and she had very bad dementia.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny that she could remember songs from when she was 5 or 6 or whatever.
Isn't
she knew the
amazing
words and whatever, but she couldn't remember who came to see her yesterday.
Yes.
Why does music have that effect on us, that we can remember it from so long ago?
I know. It's really exciting that it does. It's because there's no one musical part of the brain. So so with dementia, maybe part of her brain is affected by, you know, the short, particularly short-term memories. Music remains in our brain no matter where there might be some damage, it doesn't extinguish the musical memory. Mm. And so I've worked in dementia and with people who have dementia, and it's been so cool because they become the ones who know more than me. And yeah, so I might play an old song which I'm not that familiar with, and they'll go, oh, that was terrible, play it this way. And then all of a sudden the power's shifted, and that's something that they might not get to experience much of.
Yeah. And music also helps to improve communication. What do you think the writer of that article that I read meant by that?
Helps to improve communication.
Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, music may lead to a release of feelings. I think we all have a relationship with music where we turn up a song in the car and we're singing it loudly, and then afterwards we might feel calmer and more able to communicate. I often find that at the hospice, once we've shared music together, that leads to a lot of talking because something in them has been released.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It also helps promote physical rehabilitation. So across the board, even in your hospice situation, does that help? I must make them feel better for a short time, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's my observation. I mean, it's sometimes not appropriate to say, was that good? Do you feel better now? But
but
you can notice with your own, might notice people moving closer together, holding their hands. Maybe there's tears, maybe there's laughter. And you can tell the energy in the room has shifted.
Mm.
And you have to trust that. Yeah.
So what are you hoping that Music Therapy Week is going to bring to our community? So, yeah, it is a whole week. Starts on the 10th, goes till the 15th. What are you hoping to come from that?
Oh, well, we want to spread how awesome music therapy is.
Mm-hmm.
There is so, like you say, you've already covered so many areas that music therapy can support people, and we just want to highlight that and celebrate it. Yeah.
They're specialising at the moment in hospice work, but if someone listening to this thought, gee, I need to go and see Laura and have a chat to her, is that possible? Can people do that?
Yes, they can. There's a music therapy website, and you can see all of our music therapists on there. I'm on there. And I do see some people privately.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that. So, yep, that's definitely an option.
Now, I just want to hark back to something we talked about earlier, that you're a registered music therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And here I come along, hang my shingle up, because I think I know a little bit about music.
Sure.
And I've done a bit of reading. So what is different to come to see you as a registered person as to come to see someone who isn't?
Yeah, so we have Music Therapy New Zealand, which is our body. We have to prove to them that we're doing our professional development.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have goals that we're going to, attain that year, and then we have to show that we've done that. So there's that level of they're overseeing what we're doing, making sure it's up to standard. We have to have supervision. So every month I go and see someone to talk about how it affects me,
mm-hmm.
which is really helpful to me. And so all of that stuff as part of being a registered music therapist, like any other registered, an occupational therapist or a speech-language therapist, they are overseen by their professional body.
That's a great point that you raised because, we had a program on this station some years ago called Caring for Carers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're surrounded on a daily basis by people who are going through traumatic disease that they're never going to come out of again,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they're going to pass probably. How do you deal with that? Do you go home and put a record on?
Yep, or sometimes I arrive at the hospice perhaps and they have passed that night and I am all ready for a session with them.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I was really looking forward to seeing them again. And so, yeah, there's grief there. There's, there's stuff that I need to let out for myself. So I often go and play my guitar and sing have the session anyway for me and for them to celebrate that the closure of the work and honouring them. And, that part's really important for me, yeah.
So when you get home at night and pour yourself a big glass of orange juice and put your feet up, I mean, what makes a good day for you?
My work makes me feel, this is going to sound all spiritual, but bear with me, it makes me feel connected to the universe. It makes me feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm.
And when I'm with somebody and I can see that I'm making a difference and the music is making a difference to their well-being, that fills my cup up so much.
Mm.
I feel so grateful to be in that space with them, with someone that's vulnerable. It's pretty.
Have you had a standout moment, an example of all the people that you've seen over the years that made you say, this is why I'm doing it? Is it one or the two?
There's so many. Yeah. And obviously confidentiality is a big part of working in this. But there have been patients I've worked with at the hospice who have shared their story, and that's been amazing so that people in the wider community can hear how it affected them. And there was this one young woman when I first started and we wrote a song together which she wanted to play at her funeral, and that was able to happen. Mm. And she's always with me, actually.
Yeah. So if you want to find out more about Music Therapy Week, Laura, just remind our listeners once again how we do that.
To find out more about music therapy, they can go to our website and they can...
So check out your website and
check out the website.
Everything we need to know is there.
It really is. And there should be so much coming out on Music Therapy Week. There's, you know, there's Facebook to look at, Music Therapy New Zealand on there. Yeah, and we should be very visible that week.
Absolutely right. Good on you, Laura. It'll be my pleasure to talk with you on Community Corner. Wish you well for the future and look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thanks so much.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.